Welcome to Sarah Gonzalez Unfiltered. This is going to be a good show. We're going to get into all of the, you know, Stormy Daniels took the stand in the Donald Trump hush money trial. Oh my gosh. So we've got a lot to cover, but I just want to say there are many people that call me xenophobic for my stance at the border. And I would like to prove to you that I'm not xenophobic because I have two guests today who are in fact from different countries. We have Matthew Marsden, of course, Blaze TV contributor and actor and producer extraordinaire, along with Yaku Bouyans, Blaze TV contributor and founder of Yaku Bouyans Ministries. So see?
Yeah.
I mean, you are white, but you have dark skin.
When I lived back home in South Africa, you would be shocked. I mean, I often look more Middle Eastern.
Oh, I bet.
Really dark.
I bet.
Quickly.
Yeah. Well, when I was younger, I got super duper dark during the summers and stuff.
Or just as our brother Eric July, that's not here today, would say, I'm African American.
I identify
as an African American woman.
Really?
I do.
Well, you can do that these days. So I fully support your choice, Matthew. Matt.
We don't have to change them.
Maddie. Okay. All right. Maddie. Maddie. Yeah, there you go. Maddie. By the way, make sure that if you're watching this, wherever you're watching this, go on to wherever you, just get your phone out like this. Go on to wherever you, like, subscribe, and comment on YouTube. That's fine. Make sure you hit the thumbs up. But also go to your little phone, go to your little app where you get all your audio podcasts, and then just start typing in my name. It'll come up. And then just make sure that you're following and subscribed to the show. That will help us boost us in the algorithm. So this was the hot topic all day. Stormy Daniels is going to take the stand. And I'm going to go through some of what she testified to only because I feel like it's my job to bring people the information that they don't have time to hear because they're working. But I don't want it to be lost on us that I think that this is all like the humiliation is part of the process, right? Because at no point do I think that this, that any of what's being testified to rises to the level of a crime, is some sort of evidence that there was a crime that was committed. It seems to just be a humiliation ritual towards Donald Trump to make him sound stupid, to embarrass him, right? So she got up on the stand and she started talking about, you know, that she eventually made her way back to a hotel room with Donald Trump. She said that she came out of the bathroom to find Donald Trump on the bed. He was making suggestive comments. She felt, you know, he said something about her being from a trailer park and she felt offended. And she said she was feeling overwhelmed and possibly blacked out during the encounter, although she insists she was not under the influence of alcohol or drugs, right? So that's the idea, is like, oh, it was so traumatic having sex with Donald Trump that she felt like she blacked out. So she says Trump was in his boxer shorts and his t-shirt. He was doing dramatic gestures. And so, you know, she goes through this whole thing. She had discomfort. She wanted to leave, but she also expressed that she did not speak up during the encounter. So clearly gave consent at the time. Now, all of a sudden, she blacked out. It was just so traumatizing. So she talked about, you know, mostly talked about that, said she met him again in 2007. She was dancing at a club. He tried to get her to come back to his office. And she said, I told him I was on my period. The whole encounter lasted 2 hours. And at no time did Trump tell her to keep it confidential. So she, you know, she just goes through all of these run-ins with Donald Trump. And, oh, he never requested secrecy during the encounters. So to me, I'm reading all of this. And by the way, in cross-examination, she's asked if she hates Donald Trump and she says yes, which I don't know if you can consider testimony from someone who is openly saying, yeah, I would expect some bias to be in that person's, you know, testimony. But I just didn't, I don't, I'm not, it's like, I'm not seeing, it's like the prosecution has all of these opportunities to, here's the smoking gun, here's the, where is it? I don't know, because I haven't learned anything new except details of Donald Trump's sex life that I really never wanted to know. doesn't change my mind about voting for the guy, right? This is all stuff that we already knew. Here's this headline. Donald Trump calls for mistrial after Stormy Daniels' lurid testimony that even the judge said was too explicit about the night that they had sex. And she spanked him with a magazine. Which, by the way, I think had his face on it, which is kind of funny. Like, that's fun. All right.
There's that.
Come on, that's funny.
And there's that. Of course there's that. It can't just be, you know. Look, Sarah, you know, in the world we live in, you know, in fighting exploitation every single day, where it is so hard to 18 and over prove, you know, you've got to have, in the world of human trafficking, almost irrefutable evidence to prove that someone was a victim.
Mm-hmm.
The fact that this case is even in court sickens me, mm-hmm. because real victims that are trafficked as minors that become adults when the law no longer protects them, yeah. as they do as minors. We can't get those cases into court. We cannot get district attorneys. When there's irrefutable evidence of pimps and Johns, and this girl is getting a global audience and is looked at, and yes, Trump should ask for a mistrial. Number one, if she says, look, I gave consent, she's not saying I gave consent, she's saying I didn't protest. You can't after the fact, years and years later, go, well, you know what? I'm changing my mind on the moment I had before. Wouldn't we all like to do that at some point in our lives? How convenient.
Mm-hmm.
But how convenient that only suits a select few of society and culture, and how convenient that the new judicial system supports those people.
Yeah, I mean, well, especially because this trial isn't even, it's about the money. Exchange, right? So
it's money. It's
right.
A hush money.
So it's trial. It just seemed, again, like the humiliation is the point in this instance, because why would you need to try to portray yourself as a victim when this is just about the money that you were paid? Which, by the way, she did say during her testimony, she said that, you know, October 2016, she learned that Donald Trump, you know, wanted to purchase her story. And this was after the Access Hollywood tape. And this is what she said. Trump and Michael Cohen offered her the $130,000 and she accepted it. Now, again, we don't know who paid it. We don't have a paper trail of Donald Trump directly reimbursing Michael Cohen for that particular payment. We know that Michael Cohen made a payment. We don't know if Donald Trump paid him back specifically for that, which is the entire thing that this case hangs on. But if you can't show evidence of it, it really doesn't freaking matter that Donald Trump did disgusting things with someone who wasn't his wife, who he should not have done. There was infidelity. It shouldn't have happened. Got it. Okay, but this doesn't rise to the level of a crime. And we're talking about potentially, I mean, he could go to jail for being held in contempt of court because of a gag order that he's violating that is already unconstitutional. But I mean, you're talking about potentially throwing a man in prison and derailing the presidency. For what?
That's the point.
I know. Yeah, it's all the point. It's all the point. And that's
derailing
why she gets up there.
The presidency.
That's all the point. She gets up there and she talks about, oh, I felt so gross having to have sex with Donald Trump. Well, why'd you do it then?
It's amazing how she actually says, what'd you say? I felt humiliated because he said I come from a trailer park. Then she goes on to tell every single little detail in the sexual encounter.
Right.
And if ever you look at what she says on Twitter, it's completely blue. You know, it's pornographic. And she says, I don't have any regrets on my adult movie career. Right. So, I mean, clearly there's a conflict there. And by the way, and you know this because being in the film industry, all the time, there is money paid to people, even if someone will say, hey, listen, I wrote a script that's very, very similar to that script. People get paid money to go away, even if it's not true, right? Because they do not want it to derail the bigger thing. And it's like, well, what do I want to do? Do I want to be embroiled in a court case for years or do I just want to move on? So people going on that this is something new, that it doesn't happen all the time. Whether people are guilty, Sarah, or not,
it happens
all the time. So this kind of like pearl clutching, like, oh my goodness me, like this has happened. It's just utter BS. We all know it's BS. And by the way, I don't care.
I don't either.
Shut down the border. That's all I care about right now. Yeah. Right? You got to shut the border. We don't want to be going to war with Russia. All the other mistakes. Please bring the inflation down, get the prices. This is just an absolute freak show.
Yeah.
Right. And I don't think it's a winning thing for them. Right. Because Americans don't like this. They know what's going on. They don't want to see people's dirty laundry anyway. Mm-hmm. And to be honest, I know I am. I just don't care. I've blocked it out. You can say whatever you want about Donald Trump now because you've thrown so much at him. It's just a load of noise to me, and I don't care.
Yeah, and I mean, to your point, Matt, $130,000 is not a lot for Donald Trump. So it clearly didn't mean that much to her. To your point about sometimes it's not even true. I'm not saying whether or not it's true, but it clearly didn't mean that much to her if she was like, yeah, $130,000 and I'll go away. Which, by the way, can he get that money back? Can he get that money back?
There's a case to be made.
I know.
I'll
agree.
Say this, Sarah. Number one, she's in the adult industry, adult film industry, right? So your credibility on these issues, it's not shot. You can always be victimized. Absolutely, right? But there's consent. There's, you know, braggadocious, gross, unnecessary detail in this case on the act. This is not about the act. This is not a rape charge.
Exactly.
And if it was an infidelity charge, it would be the wife saying, hey, I want a divorce because of infidelity. And even then, those cases don't go to this detail. It is a shame, condemn, blame, tarnish.
Yes.
This is a character attack, which there is great precedent to countersue on that. You know, it's based on what? Based on what precedent? And she took the money.
Right. Right.
You took.
That's what I'm saying.
The money.
And you by the way.
The money.
That's like the most feminist thing to do ever is just like agree to consent to the act, go through with it, regret it later, take the money, and then later on just screw the man anyway. Not literally anymore, but just say, screw you. I'm going to tell everyone, even though I already took your money. And by the way, I'm going to embarrass you on top of that and tell everyone that it was gross.
Well, look, the end justifies the means here. Yeah, and unfortunately, sorry, Matt, but it's not going to stop here.
Yeah. Oh, I know.
It's not. I mean, whether it's a department store, you know, dressing room, or whether it is Susie Q that's coming out of the woodwork next week, or who knows, man.
Right.
The end is derail the presidency.
Yes.
What are the means? Anything.
Whatever.
Yeah, I think the good thing about this, if there's ever a good thing about this, is that we are being lectured to about morals by people that want to cut children's genitals off. Yeah. It doesn't work like that. You don't get to have it both ways. And people can see the hypocrisy, right? The way that they explained away Juanita Broderick, like, oh, you know, and they just dismissed her like it was nothing. Mm-hmm. Oh, well, okay, so you're going to go back and you're going to go and say to Juanita, hey, listen, come on, let's get back on this now. Let's bring this back up. Nothing. You don't hear a thing from them all these other things. So I'm sorry, we don't care about your pearl-clutching fake morality right now, right? We don't care.
How is this different than, not to bring this back up, but how is this different than the Jussie Smollett case, right? It doesn't matter. Truth does not matter. It's irrelevant to them. It is, we're framing the conversation, we're giving it context, and so it is. And unfortunately, we've just eaten that for years and years, and hopefully it doesn't stick. Now, they are playing the card of the straw will break the camel's back. They're just going to keep going at it.
Yeah.
Just keep smearing, keep condemning, and hopefully something sticks. And if not, just kill the conversation with atrophy, which just exhaust people to go, you know what? I'm checking out.
Yeah.
Don't check out. Don't check out. Check in. Show up at the polls.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
I want to make two things really clear when it comes to this case, because I think it's being intentionally conflated by the left and by the prosecution. This is, of course, part of the point. To Matt's point, I don't care if every single thing in this case is true. I still don't care. Because here's the second thing. At the end of the day, this case is about miscategorizing an expense. That's it. And if you held every single resident of New York to the same level, you would have millions of people you'd have to bring in and have all this big show trial, this dog and pony show, to condemn them, to, you know, charge them as a felon in this case, not in the regular case. In the regular case, it's just a misdemeanor. In this case, they went through all sorts of hoops to try to make it a felony. And they still don't have proof of that. So it's just like, even if it were true, let's say every single thing that Stormy Daniels said today was true, it has no bearing on the election. It has no bearing on the fact that Joe Biden has brought in over 10 million illegal immigrants, and he's still flying them in. It has no bearing on the fact that inflation is killing Americans. It has no bearing on the fact that people cannot afford to fill up their gas tanks. So again, even if it were all true, even if he's guilty of miscategorizing a business expense because he wanted to pay some dumb porn star off so she didn't run her mouth during the 2016 election, it doesn't matter. It's still bogus. And I just don't want people to lose sight of that, to get caught up in the gossipy details of like, but Stormy Daniels said she felt uncomfortable. So?
Well, let me just juxtapose it for a second here. Again, that is a marital affair that the person with the loudest voice in that conversation, yes, is his spouse.
Right. And it's gross. It's not illegal.
Of course it's gross.
It's disgusting.
It's gross. But
it's not
can
illegal.
I tell you that the current president of the United States is allowing women and children to be raped every day
across the
border?
We also,
implicit.
We also already had this baked into the cake of voting for Donald Trump before. We already knew all of this.
That's not new.
We'd already heard all of this. We knew he was a playboy. We knew he had a past. We knew all of this. So none of this is new, and none of this rises to the level of a crime. But of course, the embarrassment and the humiliation is the point. Okay, so when we come back, I want to talk about all of these pro-Palestinian protesters really just need to go away. I think that approximately zero people have been won over by them. In fact, it may be a negative number at this point, because people may have been like, you know, I was looking into your case, into your cause, and then you blocked my right to travel, and now I just hate you. So we'll get into the latest on that. First, we want to thank our sponsor, Birch Gold. So, we were just talking about inflation right now. We were talking about the economy. Things are not going great, and I'm just wondering, can your savings weather an economic storm? Like, think about everything that you've put away for the future. Inflation can actually render your cash worthless. Real estate can crash like 2008, you know? There are a lot of things that you can do to try to build your savings that can be gone in an instant with the wrong president. All right. And there are very few physical assets that you can invest in that can stand the test of time. But gold and silver are one of them. Historically, they've been a great hedge against inflation. And it's why people are flocking to it now. Birch Gold is busier than ever. But through a little known tax loophole, they can actually let you convert a retirement account that you already have. Let's say you have one sitting around, an IRA or a 401k. They can convert it into a tax sheltered IRA in physical gold. And you're not going to pay a penny out of pocket. I'm not a financial expert. They are, so I'm going to let them explain it to you. Text the word Sarah to 989898. They're going to send you a free information kit on gold, so you can learn about it more with them. I do business with them. They made it very, very easy for us. They were very helpful. So I trust Birch Gold. You should too. You can text the word Sarah to 989898. Annual remembrance of the Holocaust at Auschwitz death camps was protested yesterday by, of course, the pro-Palestinian protesters. They had to protest this, of course, remembrance of the Holocaust, where millions of Jews died. They were killed. And apparently that's worth protesting for these people. I want to play some of these protesters. Now, I do want to put into context, thank God, there were about 8,000 attendees, and there was just a handful of activists. So, of course, the attendees for the remembrance event very, very fully outweighed these morons who are out there protesting. But just the audacity of them to do this at Auschwitz is just unbelievable. Watch. So they were, I'm sure it's hard to hear. So they were accusing Israel of causing another genocide and shouting, "Are you not ashamed of what your government is doing?" I mean, I don't know. Your guys came in and raped a bunch of our women and children and chopped people's heads off and killed people, just seemingly gleeful about it. and, you know, FaceTimed their relatives to show them their decapitated bodies and did all sorts of unspeakable things. That was your leaders, Hamas, of course. That was Hamas who did that. So I don't know. If I'm Israel, I'm saying I'm not ashamed. No, actually, I'm not ashamed. But to do this in the most tone-deaf manner is just a whole new level to me. That anyone, I understand it's just a handful, that anyone could think that this was appropriate is just beyond me.
You know, these are the same folks that would easily say, you know, you're a Nazi sympathizer, that's Hitler sympathizing. Mm-hmm. That is Nazi sympathizers. That's Nazi behavior.
Yeah.
Right? I just don't want to dive too deep into history, but just a little bit of a history lesson. Israel as a people, the nation, God's people, right? Enslaved by Pharaoh in Egypt. The 10 plagues, leave by Moses, dwelling in the desert, find their country back, scattered around the world. Queen Helena comes in and rebuilds Israel, not a Jew, but says, hey, these people need, for the umpteenth time, if you go to Israel, you can see Israel and the relics of Israel in the layers, how the city had to be rebuilt, scattered around the world, my family included, come back, scattered. You're not talking about a people with an isolated event in 2024, 2023 here of, hey, we're fighting back. They're fighting for survival for as long as their history exists. Mm-hmm. They're smaller than Tennessee as a country, surrounded only by enemies in the Middle East, under constant surveillance. Americans don't have a clue. When you go to Israel, a normal day in an Israeli child's life is hearing bomb drills, bomb siren drills. We helped sponsor bomb shelters, not when Hamas is attacking, just in everyday life. Right. We help sponsor bomb shelters for every kindergarten. They do drills every day. They live under constant threat of attack. Every woman serves in the military. Every man serves in the military. This is not coming from 2023, 2024, Hamas attack, as horrible that is.
Right.
This is generational.
It's a great point, which is kind of the point of the Iron Dome, right? Like I would say,
correct.
The need to have that kind of technology because you're getting bombs waged at you left and right. I don't know. I'm going to say you're really not the aggressor historically.
Yeah. And, you know, you made a comment about people being tone deaf. There's no tone there. It's because they agree with what happened. Mm. I mean, that is the truth of it. You don't go and do that. No one, we're in their
right.
It's
so hard for me to believe that.
No, it's but this is the problem. It's so hard for a lot of people to believe it. And that's why you get people saying, hang on a second. Yeah. You know, Israel's
I'd like to believe they're
response,
just dumb.
Yeah, Israel's response is too hard. You're like, look, for them, they don't get to sit around a table and talk about it. They get people murdering their kids in the streets every day. The Israelis do. This is real life to them. And even for like me, I kind of don't like getting into it because you can Monday morning quarterback, whatever the phrase is, quarterback it. But when you have people turning up at Auschwitz, like...
I know. Go back to your college campus, right? Like... I mean, I didn't like it there either, but at Auschwitz, of all places?
It's because they agree with it. They think it's okay, right? They're not saying that they disagree with it. You just don't do it. There's a time and a place. And so what you have to do is really, they can be so mentally detached. You could make that argument. They're mentally detached, so they just think they're doing some kind of smart, hey, look, there was genocide now, and now you're committing genocide. It's not the time and place to do it. You're not going to win anyone over by it, apart from the people that agree with you and agree with what happened in the past was right. And the Israelis and the Jews there, they understand that. They know what they're up against.
Right.
And that's a reality
Matthew,
of
if
life.
If you look at this country, rightfully so, if you look at this country on how we protect and defend actions of MLK walking across the bridge, of Rosa Parks sitting down on a bench when she was not allowed to, right? On a bus. Okay, rightfully so, how we protect that. As the black community protects, you know, anyone else from saying the N-word, Not that we want to, but as aggressively as the reaction is when that happens, as we reacted in 9/11 with the death of 3,000 Americans, harsh reaction, right? Put it in context. Now, have 9/11 50 times in your history. Right. Have 15 MLKs having to walk across the bridge in your history. Rosa Parks is sitting down. Have it over and over and over. Not over 247 years. Thousands of years of nations coming, wanting to eradicate you way pre-Hitler, and then having this modern-day event called Auschwitz, my family included, it is absolutely inexcusable.
I want to play here. Who knew Amsterdam was doing it right? Amsterdam, over in the Netherlands, police arrested some 125 activists as they broke up one of these pro-Palestinian demonstrations at the University of Amsterdam early in the morning. And I just want to show you guys the police taking down the encampment. Let's watch some of that. They just bulldozed the whole thing.
Yeah, love it.
Come
on.
Oh, boy. This is play stupid games, win stupid prizes. They're just like, you know what? We're done. We're just going to bring a bulldozer and we're just going to bulldoze your shit. And if you're in the way, I don't know. I mean, you're going to learn a tough lesson one way or the other. There's the bulldozer.
Don't be in the way.
That's what I'm saying. And this brings me to, I was just thinking about this on Twitter. Someone posted a bunch of violent protesters, violent, okay, banging on a truck's windows, kicking at the truck, and the truck's trying to go around it. And they're clearly trying to block his way. And it's like, should you be legally allowed to go through? And it's like, absolutely, yes. Yeah. Of course, yes. These people were turning violent as well. You know what? Again, play stupid games, win stupid prizes. I'm trying to repeat that so I don't say the other thing, which is FAFO.
Your right
which
to
I'm
put up a barricade,
to.
My right to remove it. I mean, it's
yeah.
just...
Yeah, well, I mean, it's not even their right to put up a barricade.
No, it's not, but they think it is, right? And so...
I just love that so much.
But here's the thing, because they were enabled by the Black Lives Matter movement and everything that went up in the Summer of Love or whatever they called it, the mostly peaceful protests. And by the way, these clearly, certainly in the US, are not grassroots, right? They're clearly not grassroots movements. They're clearly funded.
They're not even students. It just came out that it's an heir to millions of dollars, a guy in his 30s, that really is the instigator on the Columbia campus. He's not even a student. This is Open Society 101. George Soros going, watch this. Watch me stack bricks on the corner and pay the guys $200 a piece to throw bricks through the windows and call it peaceful protest. As Sarah's saying, it doesn't look peaceful to me because the building's on fire, right?
And by the way, nobody looked into that, Yaku. Nobody looked into it. No, nobody's really gone back and said, do you remember that? Well, obviously you do, when they
piles of
those bricks
up
there and they were in the and you're kind of like, that's really interesting. Why are they doing that? But did you also see there was a great clip that I saw where they'd spray canned Free Palestine and spelt it incorrectly? It was just classic. So here's the thing, and I've said this 1,000 times, right? If you are sending your kids to college, you have to send them to a Christian conservative college, because these places, the Ivy Leagues, the elite colleges, they're over. You are going to lose your kids. They're going to be indoctrinated into the wokeist agenda. You just got to say, you know what? It is about the people that your kids are around and the spouses that they're going to meet at college.
Yeah.
That's it.
There was a beautiful clip last week at Liberty University. I used to have a fellowship at Liberty, and they were saying, hey, at Liberty, we're not protesting on behalf of Hamas. We're celebrating Jesus. And it was like a full-on, it was like 4th of July celebrating life and morality, and it's possible. We just, as parents, have to make different decisions. And again, I go back to a show I had before. I sat there and said, call in, let him arrest your son for stealing your car.
Yeah.
The parents are as complicit as these students, because they can see their child sitting there not in class, right? Sarah said, get your backside here in 6 hours or I come get you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and come.
You don't want that. No, you don't want mama coming.
You don't
mean
to come get you.
Wait, I'm so curious. How did they misspell Free Palestine?
I think You
get P-A-L-A, maybe?
The team can pull up.
P-A-L-A, maybe. Okay, we'll have to.
I can't remember how it was because I saw it. It was one of the
I'm listening
the vowels,
to it and I'm
they
like,
got it the wrong way.
Wasn't it Harvard? Who just misspelled a word in Congress? They quoted it and misspelled a word at Harvard in one of their educational
curriculum. But that was on purpose. That was, I think that was Columbia, but they were writing Folks, right. F-O-L-X.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
But that was to be more inclusive.
On purpose.
Yeah, to be more inclusive.
Right?
Yeah, no, this one, I'm like, free Palestine. What is there to
misspell? Things like Palestine. Palestine.
That's what I was thinking.
Yeah, Palestine.
So dumb.
Send your kids to an Ivy League
smart,
college.
Matthew.
There you
literally,
go. Smart.
The world leaders.
Literally smart. Sending them. You're paying $83,000 a year. Think about what you could buy every year with $83,000. Every year for your kid to get arrested for camping out where they shouldn't be and not know how to spell Palestine. That's it.
I've got
congratulations. And by the way, they're going to think that they're one of 10 million made up genders.
Yes. Oh, yeah. Oh, no, of course. Yeah. Put a bowl at the door, drink like a dog, right? All that.
Your morals and your values have to come first. That's it. It's more important than
your
education.
You've got this thing, and I think you'll resonate. I believe every American high schooler, when they graduate high school, international missions trip, off you go. Send them somewhere. Go serve somewhere. Go serve a nonprofit. Go do some work. They come back. They will kiss the ground. Mm-hmm. They will say, thank God.
Yeah.
I was born an American. Don't send me back there. Just 14 months, 16 months. They will beg to come back. Start with sending George Clooney. Send him on a trip real quick. Send all the Hollywood elites.
I think we have that picture. There it is. Free Palestine. Oh, my God.
Yes.
You thought dummies. Marston was making it up, huh?
It's amazing.
Palestine. No, we just needed the visuals to go with
not
it.
You.
Oh, my so gosh. That's great. Congratulations, all of those Columbia parents, Yale parents. Where was this control? Ottawa. Okay, all right. Well, even in Canada.
Hey.
Even in Canada.
Hey.
Maybe that's the problem. I don't know.
Hey.
All right, let's go to a quick break. We'll be back with more. First, we want to thank our sponsor, Jace Medical. So Jace Medical is there for, you know, we talk all the time about emergency food supply and why that's so important. But I don't think that we talk enough about emergency medical supply, which is what Jace is there for. So there's a lot of medication that's manufactured in China. Matthew?
China.
Thank you.
China.
Thank you. So when drug shortages appear, as they often do, China's the one that's handling it. That's not what you want, okay? You want the ability to take care of your family should the need arise and you need something now, okay? It's a personalized emergency kit, the Jace case. It contains five essential antibiotics that treat the most common and deadly bacterial infections. And they've got a bunch of different, you know, personalizations. You can add ivermectin as an option and much, much more. Plus, you can buy a gift card for your family or loved ones so they can get a Jace case of their own and personalize it to their needs. Go there, check them out. All right. Not only is this going to be way more convenient, it's also going to save you some money and convenience of not having to go to the doctor, pay the copay, go to the pharmacy, fill the prescription. You've got it right here. Go to jacemedical.com. Enter code Sarah for a discount. That is jacemedical.com. Promo code Sarah.
Wyndham Hotels and Resorts makes travel possible for all. Whether it's the long haulers looking for a great cup of coffee, a roomier rest for the on a whim road trippers, or a place to make summer memories with the whole family. No matter who you are, where you're going, or why, with 24 trusted brands to choose from like La Quinta, Days Inn, and Super 8, your Wyndham is waiting. Get the lowest price at WyndhamHotels.com. Restrictions apply. Visit website for more details.
New York Governor Kathy Hochul was at a global conference this week, and she was trying to explain how she wants to create this diverse workforce in new areas like AI, because everything has to be diverse. It's all about DEI here in this country, and things are going great. And so I want to play this clip of Kathy Hochul talking about, you know, getting minorities more involved. Watch.
Young black kids growing up in the Bronx who don't even know what the word computer is. They don't know. They don't know these things. And I want the world open up to all of them, because when you have their diverse voices innovating solutions through technology, then you're really addressing society's broader challenges.
Why, ma'am, do you think that Black kids don't know what the word computer is? Do you think that they're stupid? And by the way, if you think that they've never been taught the word computer or don't know what it is, perhaps you should take a look at your own public education system, which is failing these children. I don't know. Maybe that's just me. Oh, by the way, of course, she's not the first Democrat to say something just painfully racist about minorities and not even realize it because they're so racist on the inside. They don't even understand what they're like. It's just normal for them. They don't realize how racist they're being. Let's do a little flashback to 2021 during a CNN town hall. Joe Biden talking about Black people and vaccines. Watch.
The other portion is a lot of people don't know how to register. Not everybody in the community, in the Hispanic and the African-American community, particularly in rural areas that are distant and or inner city districts, know how to get online to determine how to get in line for that COVID vaccination at the Walgreens or at the particular store.
Oh, okay. And by the way, hope it's not lost on you guys that he said particularly the rural and also the inner city. It's like,
Where else is that? Not the suburbs?
I don't know. I'm just like, wait, didn't you just name all of the places and said, but now look, I'm not saying all Black people. I'm just saying the ones that live in the inner city and also in the rural areas, some of the smaller areas, maybe some of the medium sized areas, definitely the large areas. Unfortunately, none of those in particular, those Black people understand how to use one of these computers. They don't know how to look up on the computer what they're looking for. We can't trust them to go get the vaccine. They don't even understand how racist they are. They don't get it.
Didn't he say something as well about kids as well?
Poor kids. Poor kids are just as capable as white kids.
Yeah.
That's what he said. Yes. If I had had the time, I would have pulled a whole montage.
There are no poor white kids, Matthew. He promises you that. Right. It's isolated poverty profiles. Didn't you know that? It's just like the COVID virus could profile whether you were sitting down or standing 5 feet 6 inches tall, front of the restaurant, back of the restaurant. These people are certifiably insane. They are racist to the core. They play off of it. They pander. They love speaking to the Black community like they're less than. We will think for you.
Mm-hmm.
Because you cannot use a computer. Mm-hmm. It's our fault if you can't use a computer.
No, they don't even know what a computer is.
Right. It doesn't matter.
Right.
Maybe, Kathy, you're not qualified to be in your position in that case. Maybe we should start looking at the literacy rate of your state, and it's your fault, right? But no. Because you don't know what a computer is, we'll think for you.
And yet they say that we're racist because we turn around and we say, no, we don't think that they need a handout. We think that affirmative action is actually racist. Right. No, they don't need that. They're less than what we are.
And
you know, we know, certainly as Christians, everyone is all the same anyway. It doesn't matter. The color of the skin is the least most important thing about a person.
Does not matter.
And by the way, white people are not so superior that they need to explain to Black people how they are oppressed.
But right? That's what like she just did.
Right, I know. Like, that's inherently racist to be like, oh, you poor minority, you don't actually understand how bad you have it. So let me explain it to you. I mean, it's just so incredibly racist. So I've got one more story here for you on the topic of DEI and inclusion. The Boy Scouts of America announced today that they are changing their name to Scouting America, reflecting the organization's ongoing commitment to welcome every youth and family in America to experience the benefits of scouting. And so now all will be welcome.
Can I remind America that this is an organization that has 83,000 lawsuits against them for sexual misconduct on young boys? 83,000 lawsuits against them over a 40-year period that's now saying no longer the Boy Scouts. We're just going to change the name and welcome more dysfunction because we are welcoming more dysfunction. And so if you're thinking of your son being in the Boy Scouts, it hasn't existed for a long time. Pull them out.
Yeah.
Pull them out of public school. Pull them out of the Boy Scouts.
So they apparently they sought bankruptcy protection because of all of those lawsuits, and they had a reorganization plan that allowed them to continue its programs while compensating all of these victims, which is just unbelievable when you think about it. You have all of these people who are coming forward with these claims, which clearly have merit to them. And everyone's just like, yeah, it's fine. You can exist. In fact, just rename yourself Scouting America so that you can just completely hide behind that. And then you can not only get boys, but girls as an added bonus.
Maybe it should be called Pedophiles Scouting America.
Right, right.
So
well, no, then people wouldn't join.
Well, so my son was in the Scouts, and the only reason why he was in the Scouts was because it was run by a Marine, and we said that there would absolutely be no girls in it, and there would actually be no moms that go on the trips, right? Because you don't any occasion that you might get compromised. So it was a bunch of dads that were all conservatives, and the moment that they said that the Girl Scouts, which the reason why the girls they originally accepted were going to accept girls into the Boy Scouts because the Girl Scouts sucked. So you're like, okay, so let's bring them over because they suck and they're going absolutely down. That's why I hate to tell you guys, I have never ever bought any Girl Scout cookies ever, right? They're pro Planned Parenthood.
Yeah.
That's another thing. So the management of this little scout troop said, if ever we get told we've got to take in a girl, we're going to close it down and it's over.
Mm-hmm.
You got to remember what this means on a bigger scale. And I think one of the most amazing things about these protests we're seeing, about what we're seeing about what's going on with the Boy Scouts of America, is you are seeing the degradation of our youth, right? Especially young men. Because the Boy Scouts was there. It's to prepare you to be a man. It's you can go out, you would chop trees. Like I said, my 18-year-old, when we were in California, he would go up into the mountains and they would have to go into this and that. And they, you know, kind of like a little bit of a, it used to be like the cadets, right? For the army. You go in the cadets and you go into these things, learn these skills, learn how to tie knots, learn how to cut, whittle, and all that kind of stuff. This is an ongoing assault against young boys.
100%.
This is what it is. It's way more. I mean, of course, the allegations of abuse are really serious, but this is a deeper thing to emasculate young men and to take away their manliness. This is what it's about, really, to raise a generation of wimps.
Yeah, yeah. And they've been largely successful in that. It's up to us as conservatives to have lots of babies and teach them their gender roles. Matt's doing his part.
Do my bit.
You're doing your part too. I know.
The only thing needed
real quick
for evil to exist is for good men to do nothing.
Amen.
And that's what they are doing.
Amen. All right, we got to take a quick break. We'll be right back. All right, a new report detailed the expenses on Disney films and found that the totals of just four of its big budget productions lost to the company more than $500 million in 2023. Over $600 million of loss from just four movies. So this was The Marvels. It was also Indiana Jones and the Dial of Destiny, Wish, and also the remake of The Haunted Mansion. Oh. World's smallest violin for the Disney company that tries really hard to trans your kids and indoctrinate them into a sexual cult and confuse them intentionally when they watch the movies or the TV shows or visit the amusement parks. Perhaps they're learning a valuable lesson. Perhaps. I don't know. I'm trying to be positive here. Am I wrong?
They haven't changed any of their top brass. So, no, I don't think they have learned at all. And I think they're going to lose more next year.
I mean, great.
They're going to go bankrupt.
Great.
I think they're going to go bankrupt. I do.
Great.
I genuinely do.
Now, you know what? I feel bad for Walt Disney, who I'm sure is just rolling in his grave. I mean, this was not his vision for Disney. So, I mean, that part of it is sad. That's really sad. But if that's what it takes to teach companies, you cannot do this to our youth.
Yeah.
So be it. My kids will watch movies from somewhere else.
Cry me a river or not, right?
Right.
I mean, I'm with you. They're already talking about closing shop on a lot of properties in L.A., closing shop in some of the parks around the world. They are hurting, whether they are agreeing to it or not. The fact that they fired 3,000 people, the fact that, you know, they're rolling out less content, they are hurting, and it's going to continue. And it should. It should continue. You have to pay a price when you harm children. There's got to be a price. Can't come with no content.
And this is actually a massive opportunity. Number one, for a group of, if we get some conservative billionaires to get together and buy it, that's the first thing, because they do have a great back catalog and you could revive that. Yeah. That. But also, this is what, and again, Yaku knows all about this. Please stop nickel and diming creators that want to make movies when you see that one company has just lost $600 million in 1 year and you won't fund films and you keep asking us to do it for nothing. Mm-hmm. Like, we have to get involved in the culture. We keep saying this, and this is what you're up against. This is, I mean, that's $600 million. It's actually probably a lot more than that, actually, because...
Yeah, Matt, a lot of the $600 million, mind you, comes from conservative wallets.
Right.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, so let's not kid ourselves here to think this is all woke people just watching Disney. Mm-mm. No, no, no. How many of you still have Disney subscriptions? Let's just get real, which is, by the way, is ESPN, which is. I mean, so we're funding the wrong side of the conversation in this country when it comes to media and entertainment. I agree with you 100%.
They had $80 million to de-age Harrison Ford in the Indiana Jones movie.
Yeah.
$80 million they spent just to de-age him.
Didn't work.
I mean, just imagine having that much money to put in a budget. And you're like, we'll spend
Let me tell you this. $80 million, if I had that and you had that today.
In world-class conservative films.
We could change. Ten. We could literally change the culture. Seriously.
Yeah.
Because... it's not just one lump, right? You roll that out, you get money coming in, and you start building something. But conservatives just don't get it. They don't get it.
Well, at least it sounds like they are not going to see these movies. They're not going to see these productions, and that's why these were so terrible. Yeah. Stop trying to like inject gay characters in all of your trans characters in all of your movies and for kids. And, by the way, change your entire ideology before I would ever let my child watch anything Disney related.
Fire your whole C-suite.
Yeah.
Wait a minute. Maybe just hand it over and let someone start it.
Right, right. Exactly. All right. We got to take a quick break. We'll be right back. Apparently the Met Gala was last night. I don't know how do you say it?
Both tomato, tomato.
I usually say gala.
Yeah, gala, American.
I don't like the way that sounds. Gala. It sounds too much like gay.
Brits would say gala, South Africa.
Yeah, say gala.
You would say gala.
The gala.
The gala. It was last night, I guess. I don't know. I don't really pay attention to that, but I'm told that all the star-studded celebrities were there. And I do want to congratulate Lizzo on probably winning a prize for most material needed to make an outfit. Yeah, there, that's something. I'm not quite sure.
What is this spaceship on
Earth? What she's supposed to be. It looks kind of like a cupcake. Which
would be appropriate for her.
Fitting. She's like,
she would have eaten herself before she got there.
I love cupcakes so much. I just want to be one.
Some sort of a funnel.
This is supposed to be a.
Is this like
a flower?
Funnel. Maybe it's a funnel of asking for wisdom to pour in, because there's not a lot of it. I don't know. It's something. It looks like you're gonna.
It does look like a funnel. Wow. This
maybe they had to pour her into the dress and it just stuck because they couldn't.
Imagine sitting behind her.
Oh, that would be rude.
I can't see.
They wouldn't be able to see.
All five this way or
all
this
five
way.
People sitting, all five people sitting behind her.
Can't see this way. See this way.
Yeah.
Can someone call Lizzo.
Crowd of people. Can also slim down.
Stream and subscribe to more Blaze Media content at theblaze.com/podcasts.